You are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God, taught by Pastor Chidi Eberin Wokocha, Senior Pastor of Kingdom Disciples Assembly. A man known for his strong passion for leadership, growth, and kingdom discipleship. Listen and be impacted.
The title of today's service is Pursue, Overtake, and Recover All. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. Praise the Lord. And the key text is taken from 1 Samuel 30. And I'm going to read a long one. But listen attentively. Praise the Lord. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabah the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the souls of all the people were grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of cake of fig, and two clusters of raisin. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and hence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to the Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, can thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God, that thou wilt neither kill me, nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because all the great spoil they had taken after the land of the Philistines and after the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and they were escaped, not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camel and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither son nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Praise the Lord. And then we took all the flock and the herd, which they drove before those other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Pisah. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Bill, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord had given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us in our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? For as his part is that going down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of his spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. To them which were in Bethel, and to them which were in the south of Ramoth, and to them which were in Jatta, and to them which were in Aroer, and to them which were in Simoth, and to them which were in Estemor, and to them which were in Raka, and to them which were in the cities of the Jerahmeelites, and to them which were in the cities of Kenites, and to them which were in Homer, and to them which were in Chorasham, and to them which were in Atlak, and to them which were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to hunt. Praise the Lord. We've read a very wonderful story. But before I go into that story, I want to look at acceleration. And I will not tie it into this story. Praise the Lord. You know, last Sunday, we looked at dance like David danced. And the analogy was, David tried to move the Ark of Covenant to the city of David. The first time, he made mistakes and Uzzah died. Praise the Lord. And the Ark was moved to the house of Obed-Edom. And the moment the ark moved into the house of Obed-Edom, the Bible says the Lord visited Obed-Edom and blessed the house of Obed-Edom. And now, when David heard it, he said, oh, this second half, let's go and move the ark to the city of what? David. Praise the Lord. And this time around, they had knowledge. You know, they had to study on how to move the ark. The first time they went there without knowledge, they used cart to carry the ark, instead of men carrying it. You know, they studied, prepared, carried the proper way, and they were able to bring the ark to the city of David. And we'll try to compare that to the first half of the year. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're here, January to June, first half. You know, you've not accomplished what you proposed to accomplish. Are you with me? And you're asking yourself questions. Maybe you make mistakes like David. Maybe you've done things you ought not to have done. And you are worried. Praise the Lord. And we're saying, God is giving us another opportunity to get it right in the second half. You know the way it is, the year starts, you have all kinds of resolutions that you make. Things you want to accomplish. Some people even forget the resolution the first week for the next 2 days after they make it. Are you with me? The first half has gone. But you have a brand new second half to accomplish everything you set out to accomplish. And today I prophesy into the life of somebody here that in this second half, everything that you have lost, everything you're not able to accomplish, that in this second half that you accomplish it in the name of Jesus. That you will receive speed in the name of Jesus. Now looking at acceleration, When we say one is to accelerate, you know, it could be several things are happening. It could be that somebody was moving and suddenly stopped. Are you with me? It could be that the person is moving, but is not moving at the space, at the pace he's supposed to do what? Move. It could be that the person is moving. All motions. How do they say it again? All. You are having motion but no movement. You're just going around in a circle. You're not able to advance and move forward. Praise the Lord. Sometimes life can be like that. You look at your life. Maybe you've been in town for, I don't know how long you've been in Lagos. And when you compare yourself with other people who are somewhere, your mates, it's as if they've gone ahead. Are you with me? And you are beginning to ask yourself questions. Sometimes people go into depression. They say, Pastor, I have done everything. Why am I going through this problem? Why am I going through this challenge? Look at my friends. They have all moved forward. My friends are married. I'm not married. My friends have children. I don't have children. My friends have work. I don't have work. Even though I work, I'm not able to show anything for what I have been doing. Are you with me? And then, as they ask these questions, sometimes people are confused. Somebody called me last night and was chatting me on WhatsApp and was practically crying. He said, Pastor, I have done everything. It's as if things are not just working out for me. He said, where have I gone wrong? And even if I have sinned, why can't this God forgive me? I'm just trying to tell you what the person sent to me. And I tried to encourage him. I said, look, trust in the Lord. Maybe sometimes in life, you're not even where you ought to be. You have gone backwards. You've lost everything. And it's as if there is no way out again. You ask questions. You cry, you weep. But I have good news for you. You will not only pursue, you will overtake, and you will recover all in the name of Jesus. To accelerate means to cause, to move faster, or to speed up. But I have to give a caveat here. You know, sometimes we say divine speed, accelerate, move. And that is why I'm sure we'll put the word divine speed. Divine speed means speed at God's own timing. In life, sometimes God may want you to be in a place to observe, to learn some principles or lessons, right? But if you're moving at God's speed, you're never late. Are you with me? Sometimes people want to move ahead of God. And I tell you, the moment you want to move ahead of God, you will run tired. You know the way we say it. People said, that means if you are in front of God, you will run tired. But if he's carrying you or you're beside him, people are moving at his own what? Time. He says, oh, see this problem. He will shield you. He will protect you. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So speed up. To hurry up. Get faster. Drive faster. Gain momentum. I don't know what you're going through. But I tell you, at the end of this service, your life will never be the same again. Because you're here today, your life will not be the same again. Praise the Lord. You know, another thing I want us to look at is pursue. When you say pursue, it means to follow or chase, continue or proceed along a path. Go after. Are you with me? Seek, persevere or persist. Sometimes in life, for us to really accelerate, we need to have that perseverance spirit. Are you with me? You need to be consistent. But sometimes in life, even when we get the word, we get discouraged. Sometimes we are so demoralized that we're immobile. We can't even move. I prophesy in the life of somebody here. Anyone here that has gone to a point in their life that they have given up and is as if they cannot move forward again. Because you are here today, I prophesy in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you will receive strength and that you will move forward and that you will accelerate in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. What about overtake? Remember we said pursue. Overtake and recover all. What about overtake? Overtake means to pass, to get past somebody. Pull ahead. Come suddenly or unexpectedly upon something. You know, if you look at the story of Joseph, Joseph had a vision as a young man at the age of 17. Are you with me? But for 13 good years, it was as if Joseph went backwards. From being a prince that his father loved, he even made a coat of many colors for him. The coat was torn. That symbol of love his father gave him was destroyed. Maybe you are here, you know, you've experienced your parental love, and as you became an adult, things changed. And you're wondering what is happening. Learn from Joseph. The coat of many colors was torn, and Joseph not only was thrown into a pit, are you with me? Was sold into slavery. His case kept on getting worse. Into a strange land. And I've told this story here several times. In those days, when they buy slaves, you know, they come, they press their muscles, check how good they are, shake them. Then imagine a prince being, you know, showcased, like when you go to go and buy things in a shop, right? And that you see his chest. He's going to say, I'll pay $1. And I want to say, I'll pay this. They keep on bargaining. You can imagine the humiliation that he went through. Finally, Potiphar took him. He went to Potiphar's house. He would have thought, okay, maybe things are improving again. Are you with me? Potiphar's wife, you know, had to go after him. And when he ran, the woman lied against Joseph. And Joseph was thrown into prison. If you are in Joseph's shoe, what will you say? Will I say, this is God? Ah. This is not 3 years old. 13 good years process. He went into the prison. He was made a team leader there in the prison. He interpreted a dream. And the person that he helped to leave the prison forgot about him. But God's own timing. Tell your neighbor, God's own timing. When God remembered him and brought him out, he became a prime minister, right? And overnight, he had to overtake all his brethren, all the people who thought they've gone ahead of him. Remember why he was in prison? His brethren would have married, right? They would have been living their life. But when he was brought out, made a prime minister, he overtook all of them. And everything that he lost, he recovered all. Because there was one person that was brought out from prison, made a prime minister, was given a wife, was put in the palace. Everything was given to him. He was more like, you know, the Pharaoh said, apart from anything that has to do with this stone, that over the land, you are in charge. There was a divine speed. And he recovered all. That will be somebody's testimony in the name of Jesus. Now let us go back to the story of David. You know, as I studied David on this instant, when God said, pursue, overtake, and recover all. I said, God, why did you allow them to attack David in the first place? And the first thing I learned from that, if you read like from chapter 27. David, because Saul was pursuing him, are you with me? Had to cross to the enemy's line. He went to the Philistines and King Achish kept him in Ziklag. But that is just not the issue. Now, the Philistines were preparing to go to battle against Israel. He never caught me on the first part in this. And David showed up with his men to go and fight what? Israel? How? And even though Achish said, oh, he will trust David, let us go to battle with him. The Philistines said, no. Is it possible for David to turn against his people? David was trying to prove that he's going to fight his people. Think about it. And think about what is happening in heaven. They say, oh. So he has now learned how to fight. Eh? What is he's not a big boy. They remove the cover. Because remember, David, God has given him protection all this while. He went to fight against his people. So when he went out, the Amalekites have been moving from place to place like a band, you know, destroying cities. And they raided Ziklag. And they took everything. The first learning point I take from that is that your location, your covenant, your partnership, and maybe sin could be the cause of your delay or your losses. David was in the camp of the enemy. David entered into partnership with Achish. He was even willing to fight for them. You know, from experience, sometimes people are not moving forward in life because of their location. You know, some people will say your location determines their allocation. Are you with me? Your location determines what you get. Sometimes we're in the wrong place. And because we're in the wrong place, you are not able to connect with the divine helper. And I want everybody, because by the time you say accelerate to where? You need to first of all understand where you are. Before you talk about divine speed, where are you? On what platform are you using to move? Am I communicating? David was in the wrong place. And he had a wrong partnership. And that was why, when he went out with his men, the Amalekites struck. The Amalekites, they are a kind of people, I don't want to use the word warlike, but anywhere they go, they ravage, they destroy. They came, they took everything that David had and his men. Remember, David had initially 400 men that followed him. I suspect along the line, another 200 had joined him. He had 600 men with their families. And they all went out. And by the time they came back, maybe they were coming back from that battle they wanted to go and join to fight Israel. Because if you read the Bible, it was after that you entered this issue of Ziklag. So by the time they could return home, they have packed everything. Everybody. The Bible says they didn't lose anything. The people, nobody died, but they packed everybody, men, women, children, all their property. They took everything. They're now born to the city. How do I liken this? Sometimes we have moved forward at some point and the enemy struck. And you have lost everything. You've lost everything. And when you look at what you've lost, it's as if there will never be restoration. But the God that we serve is a God of what? Restoration. I'm a living example. For those that came on adversity, I gave my testimony. Sometimes you think you've lost anything. The enemy will think he has gotten you to where he wants you. And the enemy will say, oh, it's time for me to finish him. Are you with me? But God that we serve will laugh. He will have them in derision. Because he has the last say. And I want to prophesy into the life of somebody here. It doesn't matter where the enemy has gotten you to. It doesn't matter what they have done. The God Almighty that we serve, he will not only restore you, he will not only bring you out, you will pursue and you will overtake and you will be a testimony in the name of Jesus. You know, your location matters a lot. I'll give you a few examples that we'll move on. You know the story of Abraham. God said, Abraham, come. Abraham at 75 was a wealthy man. But he carried his niece, Lot, along. And that caused a lot of problem. At some point, Lot's men and Abraham's men started having issues. Are you with me? And as they're having this problem, Abraham said, my nephew Lot, there's no need for us to fight. Are you with me? Yes, you've multiplied and I've multiplied. Why don't you move with your men? But choose Bible says, you know, a young boy his uncle brought out. If uncle said choose, which is uncle take, whatever he give me, I take. Because if he had done that, he would have been partaking from Abraham's blessing. Are you with me? But he was being greedy. He looked at all the places, chose the southern part towards Jericho that had water, everything for their cattle. And told his uncle to take the dry land. Are you with me? It was after he had departed that God appeared to reaffirm the covenant with Abraham. Let us see what happens. Genesis 13, 14 to 18. Genesis 13, 14 to 18. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thy eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can count the number of the dust, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it. For I will give it unto thee. Then Abraham removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. What I'm trying to bring out here is that, God, I'm telling Abraham, I have a covenant with you, blah, blah, blah. But not until he separated himself from Lot, that God now came and now gave the full revelation of the covenant. Enlarge it. He said, look north, right? Look south. Look west. Look east. What does it mean? It means God gave him, including the area that Lot took. Sometimes you are in a wrong partnership. And until you leave that partnership, you cannot move forward. Sometimes you have a wrong foundation. Until that foundation issue is addressed, you cannot move forward. And some people have gotten into trouble because of their partnership. God said, come out, be separated. Come out from among them. Some people are in the wrong relationship. You say, oh, I am not married. But the person that you are not married, you are sleeping with somebody. Every day you go to the house, you cook like a wife. They have not paid bride price, but they are playing the role of a wife in the house. And you come to church. You say, God, I want to get married. You are a young man. You want to settle down. But at your house, I'm not even keeping it holy. Every week, you change one girl to another girl. You know, Christians are wonderful. But you still come to church. Say, God, help me to marry. How can God answer that kind of prayer? You are in the wrong partnership. Come out from among them. Be separate. So I can bless you. I can bring the covenant and establish it with you. Are you with me? If you read Numbers 16, 25 to 33. For time, I won't read it. Numbers 16, 25 to 33. You hear the story of Dathan, Korah, and Abiram. They rebelled against Moses. Praise the Lord. They accused Moses. Moses, your own is too much. Are you the only one that hears from God? We too also hear from God. They want you to divide the camp. And Moses said, hey, what is my problem? I was minding myself in the backside of the desert, looking after the sheep. I did not plan to lead anybody. As I was doing my work, God appeared to me in the burning bush. He even said I should go to Pharaoh. I said, I cannot go. I said, I can't even speak. And God said, I must go. I have obeyed God. I'm doing this work. What is my problem? Why have I offended you? And Moses said, okay. All of you that are against me, stay on one side. And God will do anything today if really he has called me. But he made a comment that also got my attention. He said, please, all Israel, I know some of you here are here out of ignorance. Come out from among them, they and their families, so that you will not be part of the collateral damage. Some people in life are where they are because they are with the wrong people and they've been affected by what? Collateral what? Damage. So he said, come out from among them. They came out. As soon as they came out, Moses cried to God, said, God, if you have called me, do something new in this place. Bible says, the earth opened the mouth, boom, and swallowed those men with their families and with their properties. Imagine if another person was with them who is not supposed to be there. The earth will have swallowed them. David was in the in Ziklag in partnership with Achish. And that was what led to that raid where they carried his people. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion had light with darkness? And what concord, as agreement, had Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 17, I love this, I say, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye what? Separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, and I will give you acceleration. This is the bread talking. And I will lead you, and I will bring you to your wealthy place. But first of all, come out from among them. Be a what? Separate. I want everybody to reflect. What kind of partnership do you have? It says, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my son and daughter, said the Lord Almighty. God is waiting for you and I. You can shout, accelerate, 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 from now to tomorrow, and nothing happens. God is a God of principles. He honors his principles. Are you with me? That partnership can cost you moving forward. That covenant can keep you stagnant. That covenant of partnership can open you up to attack of the Amalekite. Because the Amalekite, they come to destroy. They come to kill and to destroy. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Another thing from this story of David, you know, they captured the city, Ziklag. They burned it with fire. They carried the people captive. You know, in a time of captivity, of stagnancy, one may lose time, lose people, and lose resources. David came. His wife, he didn't see. Their children, they didn't see. Their resources, they didn't see. Maybe you've been in that place where you've lost everything. It's as if time has gone you back. Bye, praise the Lord. As if you've lost time. But only God can restore the time that you have lost. Only Him can restore. Only Him can take you from the back and bring you to the forward, to the front. You heard my friend what he said. The God can make rich. God can make poor. It is prerogative. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And that is why you need to hold on to this God. All kinds of things are happening in the world today. People are preaching all kinds of heresies. A lot of people have gone out there, you know, performing magic. And people are calling it signs and wonders. And people are getting carried away. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Maybe you're at that point where you look at the time you spent, it's as if it's gone you by. You know, I was talking to my wife yesterday on Sunday, said, it's almost 4 years. I lost a friend, and it was like yesterday. It's almost 4 years, getting to the fifth year. Time flies, and you look at yourself, you're not getting younger. You know, and you are here. Every morning you do the same thing over and over again. And there is no change. I know there's a saying that says, it's only a madman who does the same thing over and over again and expect a change. You've been doing that thing over and over again. And there is no change. Have you sat down to take stock? Have you tried to find out what the issues are? Am I in the right place? Am I in the wrong place? What am I not doing right? Am I actually serious with God? This morning I stood out here in front. And so I wonder why Pastor was outside. You know, one of my sons said, Pastor, you've changed. You of old. Workers are doing anyhow they behave once in church. They come late, whatever. You of old will have put register, be there. You know, suspend them, do this. I said, Pastor is changing too. Are you with me? But I went to even see those who are coming out there. And I know I spoke to some of you. I said, is that the way you serve God? 7:30 ought to be in church. You stood in at 8 o'clock. 8:45. 9 o'clock. 9:45. Damn. You're doing God a big favor. Coming to church to worship Him. Are you with me? And you say you're a Christian. Are you? Tomorrow you say, I've been serving this God. But are you faithful in small things? I asked him, I said, you are not married. You don't have children. And you can't go to church early. So what will happen when you now have a husband or have a wife and have children carry all over the place? I need to carry everybody, you know? What will now happen? That means you arrive at church when you're about to say the closing prayer. Some people say, oh, they've been in church. But how faithful have we been in what we're doing? God, answer me. Give me divine speed. Reward me. Restore me. Ask your neighbor, what have you done for God lately? The work you are doing, how are you doing it? God is not saying, even saying, come and go and fight battle for me. He said, just show up. I have given you victory. Just come and worship me. Honor me. Sometimes you come to church, people are looking at their time. You know, these days, a lot of pastors are adapting to make sure that, you know, they say, is this generation? 30 minutes, they're out. 30 minutes, where are you going to? Some of you spend 1 hour on Facebook. Right? Some 2 hours gossiping in the office. Some 3 hours watching home video. Are you with me? Then to stay in the presence of God for 1 hour, 2 hours, is as if you are doing God one big favor. That God should be happy I came to church. God will have mercy on this generation. Because the person say, I've been in church, oh, Pastor, I've been serving God for 40 years. What things are not changing. Have you been faithful in the small thing? The God that we serve, the way He works, sometimes it might be in your consistency. Maybe you're supposed to be in church by 7 every Sunday. And in heaven, they've noted that you are consistent every 7. They will send the angel one morning and say, come and meet him 7 o'clock. You know something, God will serve it. You can never really comprehend Him. It might be as you're coming to church, as you're crossing that gate, your blessing is given to you. God has met you for that day. It's not the hours you spend clapping hands and listening to the sermon. I've seen it happen several times. You have to be faithful in small things so that God can bring you to the wealthy place. If you're not faithful in small things, how can God now accelerate you, give you His divine speed to do what? To kill you? No, now. He will not multiply iniquity. He will not multiply what is wrong. If somebody is living in sin, not doing the right thing, and he said, give me divine speed. It's like giving a baby, a child, a 5-year-old car. You give him a sports car to drive. What will happen? He will receive speed, right? But he will crash. But because God loves you and I, if you are not prepared, He cannot give you divine speed. Because divine speed will kill you. Praise the Lord. Joel 2:25. He said, I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. God is saying, I have come to give you life and give it to you in abundance. I have the capacity to restore to you whatever you have lost. Be it time. You know God can restore your time. I give myself an example. I left banking 10 years ago. And I heard God, ministry work, evangelism, I was doing it. And when God said go back to work, He took me to the very top again. as an executive director somewhere. I know it's not because of anything I've done to me. It's just the mercy of what God. Or something when I say, 10 years later I'm gone. What did I do with it? But I remember I was going from school to school doing crusades. You can never give God your time. Eh? And you lose that time. Any time you give to God, it's like going to put a deposit in the bank. He will multiply it. Are you with me? You don't give God your time. He said multiply zero to multiply, multiply zero. I say, God, give me divine speed. You don't have time for God. God is not a computer. You know, computer is garbage in, garbage out. In your bank account with God, in your time bank account with God, have you given God time? Do you even tithe your time? That's a different higher level. I'm not even asking to go there yet. That one is received by revelation. You have 24 hours a day. You give God 10% of that time. That's 2 hours, 40 minutes, right? Are you doing that? You don't even have time for God. But you want God. So whenever you just show up, enter church, anyhow, hey, God, I've appeared. Please, restore me immediately. I'm doing a favor being here. So you know, you're right. I try to visualize things. Imagine God here waiting for you all day. You don't show up. Monday, you don't come for. We'll be saying, come for prayer. This is this month of fasting and praying. Only the same people keep on coming. Tomorrow, when God starts blessing them, and they start your testimony, you'll be wondering why. You say, I've been in church, but God, why are you not blessing me? We say, come every 6 days, you're VI. Or you walk around the island, come and pray. But I'm not saying, come and clean the church. But I'm not saying, come and work. Come and talk to you. Prayer is what? Talk to God. Then you don't show up all week. You don't pray in the house. You don't read your Bible. Then on Sunday morning, you just arrive. Say, hey, God, I've come. Bless me. I want this. I want that. Except by His mercy and grace, such prayers are heard. Because imagine people who have been consistent praying in front of Him at all times, presenting His case. If you are here, what will you do? Imagine you have your children all lined up. Every day they are talking to you, Father. Father, pay our school fees now. Father, pay our school fees. Let me make it practical. You see, you have 10 children. Every day they line up, Father, we need our school fees. Pay our school fees. And you have the money for them to pay their school fees. And suddenly a stranger just walks in. Hey, hi, friend. Give me money for school fees. What father? This is a human being. You know. What father will leave his children? And he first of all pay their school fees. And now give the stranger who are just coming. Are you a son? Or are you a daughter? Or are you a stranger? I want you to reflect on it. Praise the Lord. Another thing we learn from the story of David. Pursue, overtake, and recover. And he said there was a state of despair. When they came, they saw the damage that had been done. They lifted up their voice and wept. Bible says that they had no power to weep. I want you to pause. These are men of war. They came. That means they didn't even have hope anymore. They were like, we have lost our children. Everything is gone. We don't even know. You know, remember, they didn't know who took them. Are you getting my story? You know, we're in that history. Now we know it was the Amalekites. It's like somebody coming back to the house. They have carried the house away. Burnt. You don't know where the children are. You don't know where, you know, everything gone. Are you with me? And you don't even have a clue who did it. They broke down. David wept. His men wept. Everybody wept until they had no power. Maybe you are there. Maybe you are depressed. Maybe you've wept. You can see you're not alone. Are you with me? You're not alone. Crying is not weakness. They wept. It was as if everything was against them. Even his own men. David's mighty men. Bible said, they speak. Not, it wasn't their thought. They have discussed, let us stone this David. You don't get it. This is a man that they left everything and followed. They fought battles and succeeded. But this thing was so heavy on them that they said, let us stone our leader. And that point, David was God that prevented them from stoning. Because for you to He's wanting to think about it, right? He's wanting not to say it openly. Let us stone David. Praise the Lord. But David forgave all of them. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 to 18. I want God to visit somebody here today. Maybe you're at that point, you weep in the night. Your pillow is soaked in tears. God knows what you're going through. But I want you to learn from this story also. After weeping, what do you do next? We need to learn from David if we're going to move forward. Yes, it's good to weep. It's good to cry. It's not. You don't have to be ashamed, appearing helpless before your God. Remember, He sees your heart. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians 4, 8 to 18. It says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus. "That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we, which live, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things we are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many return to the glory of God." Go back to 15. Praise the Lord. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us as far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Where we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Maybe you look, you have been pushed. You've lost everything. When you are looking, it's as if there is no hope. But that which you don't see, your faith must be built up. Then he came back and he didn't see anything. He didn't see the wife, he didn't see the children, the house burnt, everything gone. They wept. It's natural to weep. It's not a weakness. But you wait for a long time, but don't weep out of hopelessness. Are you with me? As you weep, you know that you have somebody who is out there who has got your back. It doesn't matter how bad things have gone. He is the Almighty God. He's able to restore. He's able to revive. He's able to give you speed to pursue, to overtake, and to what? Recover all. That will be somebody's testimony in the name of Jesus. Here Paul says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." It doesn't matter what you're going through, never you lose your faith in your God. Joseph was 13 years. David was anointed a king. It took him almost another 7 years or more, or I don't know how many years, for him to ascend the throne. Are you with me? He said, "We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken." I want you to hold on to that word, no matter what you're going through. The enemy might be shaking you like this. Jesus told Peter, "I said, Peter, the enemy has decided to do what? Sift." You know what it means to sift? If you bring a sieve, put sand inside and be shaking it like this. He said, "Peter, the devil has perfected plan to do what? Finish." But he said, "I have prayed for you. I prophesied into the life of somebody here. That the prayer of the Almighty God for you, we hold you, we sustain you in the name of Jesus." Peter was to be taken out by the enemy. He denied Jesus 3 times. If Christ did not pray for Peter, Peter would have committed suicide like Judas. You know what it means to deny your master? Everybody knew he denied him. Even everybody. That means he was finished. How can he not stand again to preach? Preach to the one that you denied at the crucial time. You denied him. How? How can you stand to preach about him? But because Jesus prayed for him, he was able to restore him. And the Almighty God will restore you in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Psalm 30, 50. You may have wept, questioned God, and on the verge of giving up. But remember, Psalm 35. Psalm 35. Therefore, his anger endured but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Somebody here is entering into their morning time in the name of Jesus. The weeping is over in the name of Jesus. Enter into your morning time in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, when David came and saw that everything has been burnt, children, wife carried away, his men wept with him that they couldn't weep anymore, and they spoke of stoning David. Some of us will have said, God, why? Why me now? Shebe, they serve you. Why did it happen to Papa? The Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. At that moment, everybody abandoned. Let me put it for you. David left. These men followed him, right? And they've been walking with him. And he gets the point that they lost everything. They thought of stoning him. That means David has been abandoned. Are you with me? You know, David was their pastor. And they said, Pastor, we've been following you. And this happened to us. Pastor, we'll kill you. Put it to be practical. That means they said, Pastor, we're no longer following you. It's over. Are you with me? David looked. Ah, Joab, even thou you. This one, even you. All his men. That's why my Bible says, the arm of flesh will fail you. All of them wanted to stone him. David looked left, no help. Looked right, no help. Looked forward, up everywhere. He looked up and encouraged himself in the Lord. What does it mean to encourage himself in the Lord? He was like, Lord, you are the only one I have. You know, what I've observed working with God, when you get to the point that you say, Lord, here I am. My life is in your hands. You want to kill me, kill me. I have no other person I'm trusting but you. Eh? That's when he shows up. But if you have a plan B, you wait until you exhaust your plan B. I have no other plan but him. You're laughing. I'm talking from experience. When my business collapsed and everything was wrong, one day I made up my mind. I kept on trying to revive it, you know, in my strength. One day I said, you know what? I'm stopping this business. I'm going to sell off whatever is left of the carcass of all that is left. You know, everybody go. I told everybody, all of them left. I said, okay, God, this is me and you. If you want to kill me, kill me. And every morning I would dress up. I would go to church, sit down. And people didn't know what I was going through. I would say, come, preach. People give their lives to Christ. I would do, and every time people are delivered. He didn't know what I was telling. I said, God, okay, it's me and you. But when he showed up big time. God will show up for you in the name of Jesus. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Psalm 9, 9 to 10. He said, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. The arm of flesh will fail you. When the enemy has boxed you to that point, you look left, no help. David's man wanted to stone him. He has lost everything. And has been faithful with God. But he lost everything. But the Bible says, he encouraged that what? In the Lord. He put his trust in God. Psalm 26 to 8. Psalm 26 to 8. He said, now, know that at the know I that the Lord Sabbath is anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with his seven strength of his right hand. Seven. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. When the enemy has brought you to that point, that is as if everyone has abandoned you, nothing is working out there again. He said, don't trust the arm of flesh. Don't trust that deal. Don't trust that friend. Don't trust that daddy. Don't trust that mommy. Don't trust that uncle. That your help will come from them. I can tell you, as I was going through my phase, I called all my friends. People thought they could help me. They could not help me. In fact, even the people that I told about the problem, they even took more money from me. Praise the Lord. In trying to solve the problem, I lost more money. Are you with me? They said, oh, we'll help you. Don't worry. I have transactions. We'll do it this way. We'll do it this way. You. Come on. And some of them are tongue-talking Christians. Demon slaying. But I was looking at the arm of flesh. Bible says the arm of flesh will do what? It will fail you. He said, look unto God. He said, those people that you think you rest on, he said, they will come down. And God will do what? He will lift you up. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 3:5-8. He said, trust in the Lord with all thy what? Heart. And lean not unto thy own understanding. You know, sometimes let us stop there. Sometimes they're trying to figure out how the problem will be solved, right? You will try to use your own understanding to figure it out. You will do permutation from A to B. Are you with me? A to C. A to D. D to, you know, what kind of permutation? Combination A versus B. A to C. A to D. No, B to A. B to C. B to D. C to D. C to A. You permut, do everything. Instead of the problem going away, is what? Is multiplying. So you must get to the point where you say, Lord, if I perish, I perish. I'm holding on to you. You must get to the point that you raise your hand and say, Lord, I surrender to you. I don't have a clue how you're going to solve this problem. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I look up to you, my God, the author and finisher of my faith. I stay focused. I hold on to you. That is where God wants to get. If you want God to really give you wind and give you that divine speed, you must totally do what? Depend on Him. You cannot be saying, God, accelerate me. Give me divine speed. And you have your own plans. He will say, finish now. When you finish, you cannot talk. Remember, He's the potter. The verse is broken, right? And He's trying to patch it and mend it. And you're still holding His hand. Telling Him, don't worry, I know what to do. As long as you have your own plan outside God, He will not lift a finger until you bring it and say, this thing is broken completely. Lord, it's broken completely. I bring it to you. Now help me to mend it. That is when He will now take it from you and begin to bring every pieces by pieces, put them together, joined with love, and bring total healing. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. David included himself in the Lord. And after David did under this, Bible says he spoke to the priest Abiathar. When I got there, I said, why did David go to the priest? Why did he say, guys, let's chase them? And when I got from there, I said, who are your counselors? When you have issues, who do you go to? Are you going to people that will lead you to God and increase your faith, or people that worsen the case? David could have called Drew. I said, Drew, I've come. You know, you're a strong man. What is the battle strategy? Like, how can we recover? How can we go after this? He went to somebody who was not part of the battle plan, right? He went to the priest. What I want to bring out here is that it's important who you talk with, who you share your problem with. Joseph shared his vision with his brothers, but they were the wrong people. They tried to kill him for his vision. When you're going through that problem, who do you talk to? Some of us are where we are because we are still talking to the wrong people. Am I communicating? Who are you communicating with? Who are you discussing your problem with? You know, that thing, I've learned a lesson there because I know God allowed me to go through all this heavy lesson. Now, when I have an issue, I ask myself, this person I'm telling now, of what use? Are you with me? When I say that, I just my mind short. The information will not, some people, 80% of the people you tell a problem are laughing at you. Some are saying that sounds him right. You may think they are friends. Some are saying, and Shebi say they sleep for church every day. Let's see how his God will help him. Some will say, when he has tried and finished, he will not come. We'll take him to the other Babalawo so he can know his own way. He rather than his own way. They are not happy that they are serving God. So who do you share a problem with? It's important. Then he went to Abita. Bible says, iron sharpens iron. If you carry a problem and go and give to person who will not help you, the person who will help further pull you down. Are you with me? God, give me speed. Who are you sharing your problems with? Proverbs 11:14. Proverbs 11:14. He said, where no counsel is, the people fail. But in the minds of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 15:31-33. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Who are you? Who are you sharing that problem with? Who are you talking to? Am I communicating? It's important. You know what the enemy does? Let me give you an example. He will cause the problem, because the enemy doesn't know what is in your heart. Are you with me? So he can't know the plan you have. Only God has that capacity. So he will cause the problem. He will not send his agents to come and hear out what their next plan. So when they come, say, brother, what happened? You say, this is what happened. They say, what will you do about it? It's strategy. The enemy doesn't want you to succeed, right? So he will send his people to come and give you a plan that will not work. A plan that will put you further into problem. Are you with me? So you implement it. It's not working. You will send another person again. So what are you doing about it? You tell them where. You say, no. Come and have a better solution. What is the enemy doing? He calls the problem. He's still sending his people to put a ring around you. So that any information that you gather, they will give to him. He will use it to do what? Counter whatever thing that will have worked out in your favor. That is why it is important to know who you share that problem with. The enemy is smart. Anybody said the devil is not smart is just a baby. Because if you read Ezekiel 28:11-18, the Bible says he was full of what? Wisdom. He was very beautiful. God didn't check the remove all those things when he came out. He still has that, what is his what? Human wisdom. I mean, he has human what? Wisdom. Why we operate with divine what? Which is superior. And I was at workers on Friday, and I said, I feel angry, and I feel we're insulting our God when we try to compare the devil with God. How can you compare a created being with his creator? Don't ever compare devil again with God. They are not in the same what? League. You don't get it. You cannot compare somebody that, if God said today that the devil is their own is finished, bam, that is it. You can't even compare them. And that's why, because we like this understanding, some of us try to compare him with God, and we try to give him power that doesn't have. The Bible says, once you've spoken, twice I've heard, that all power belongs to who? Belongs to God. All power in heaven, on earth, anywhere, belongs to God. The devil doesn't have any power when you compare to God. And if God is in you and I, that means you and I have power. I say, I've given you power to train over what? Serpents and scorpions. And over all powers of what? over all. That means one person here who has hooked onto God with antenna, hooked onto heaven, is more powerful than the devil. That is why Christ came and died, and by the free work of Christ, we receive power, authority, over all the powers of what? And he said, and nothing shall by any means do what? Hurt you. Sometimes, it's because we don't know our rights and authority. That's why the devil oppresses people. Be careful who you share your story with. David inquired of the Lord. And when he inquired, David was very deliberate. Some people go to pray before God. They just say, God, anything now? You just imagine me, I'm in the office. Somebody says he's looking for work. And maybe I'm looking for, let's say, I'm looking for a general manager to run a division for me. And you come and say, oh, do you want to say anything, sir? What do you think? What do you think will happen? I would say, okay, Abed. I'll get back to him. I said, go, whichever one. I mean, you're not serious. David was what? Specific. He said, let's go back. I want to read it correctly. What David said. In 1 Samuel 37, he said, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, I want you to underline this. He was very specific. He said, shall I pursue after this troop? He was specific. He now asked again, shall I overtake them? It's one thing, if you can hear, some of us like that, when he said, shall I pursue? He said, yes. They will start running. That you should pursue doesn't mean you overtake. You don't get it. That you can pursue doesn't mean you overtake the person. It doesn't mean you overcome the person, right? But he was very deliberate. He said, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? He said, God, am I supposed to go after them? And if I'm going to go after them, am I going to be victorious? When you come before God, be specific. Imagine a child who is hungry and wants to eat iba. And he comes before his mommy. What will you eat? Is there anything? The mother will just give him a biscuit to eat. Is that what he wanted? But David was what? Specific. Shall I pursue? Yes. Will I overtake? God said yes. And God added this and said, you will not only pursue, you will not only overtake, but you will recover all. Think about it. They could have killed any of the people. They could have, you know, dashed some people things along the way. God said, everything. You will not lose a single thing. So when you go before God, as you include yourself in the Lord, be specific. Tell God what you want. Ask him. It's not the wrong thing to ask God a question. So you're not challenging his authority or his divinity. If you don't understand what's happening, say, God, I don't understand what is happening. Show me the way out of this. Should I do this? Do you run that plan with God? Divine speed accelerates. That plan. Have you gone to God to say, first of all, did you get the plan from God? Did you run it by Him? Or you have done all your planning without God and you say, God, give me acceleration. What if that plan is going to lead into a valley? And God give you acceleration. That means you should move faster into the problem, right? Am I communicating? When you make plan without God and you say, God, give me speed. They are saying, God, push me faster into that problem. And that is why you must go to God to get a solution. And I see this happen a lot of times when people want to marry. You know, When some people see the kind of person, maybe the lady they want to marry, the kind they like. Maybe they like fair girls, tall, fair, like my wife now. Once their mind is made up, no amount of prayer. They don't pray again, don't even ask again. They have concluded, they want to marry. They will now say, Pastor, I want to come and see you. And when they now come, hey, Pastor, hey, this is lady I want to marry. And they want to just approve. But even if you say, this way, there's no way here, they will not hear. Their mind is what? Made up. They want you to give a seal of what? Approval. So they will say, I even showed my pastor agreed. Are you with me? But they need to be asked God, God, who will I marry? Can you order myself to meet the person? They have chosen. They have decided. Their mind is made up, sealed. They are just showing you. Just for you to say, let it be said, I told my pastor. Are you with me? Some of them won't even ask any questions. You know that there are ways you get married. You tell your parents. They will go and ask some questions. Are you with me? They will do some things. Some people now, they don't even do anything. They just say, this is the person. That's the way we approach to God. We've made up our mind. We'll carry the solution to God. Say, God, now give us speed. And if it's the wrong decision that you have made, and you're giving speed, what will happen? People cash faster because, you know, that's why they say, if you are living in sin and they pour oil on your head, it will multiply what? That problem. So you've made up your mind, you have your plan. I say, God, hey, I want to marry Sister Amaka or Sister Mbeke Mbafo. Hey, God, this is the lady. Answer me, Lord. And the devil will be laughed. Say, this one. By the time I'm through with them. And the angels will be weeping because you didn't come to God in sincerity. That's what I want to bring out here. When you come to God, tell him what you want. Ask him. He said, shall I pursue? Are you with me? He didn't assume that pursuing means you will do what? You will overtake. He asked again, will I overtake God? Should I marry this girl? If I marry this girl, will it be successful? Are you with me? Break it down. When you come to God to pray, remove from there. Remove from there. Some people just come to the house, thank God. Oh, thank you. You are in church. We're not in church. There are following people for maybe there's a brother beside you. Oh Lord, I thank you for answering me. And the person will be impressed. And that prayer didn't cross your lips. If you have a problem, open your mouth and say, God, help me. I need help. I have tried. I have failed. I have proposed to 5 girls. 5 of them have refused me, Lord. Are you with me? They have refused me, Lord. Help me now to select for me. I'm tired. Oh, several men have come. Lord, they come. Even when I say yes, they don't show up again. What is it? Lord, help me. I need help. When you come to God, you are still forming. Hey, Lord, I want to marry. Tell him the way it is. David was very what? Particular. He said, shall I pursue, Lord? And will I overtake? I have to bring this in so that we can understand. Sometimes we make all our plans. Are you with me? How did Paul pray in 1 Corinthians? He said, the foolishness of God is what? It's one of the best of wisdom of the earth. So that your best made plan, if it's not of God, is foolishness. And that is why divine speed comes to me and says, God, okay, I've been in this mess. I have tried to solve it myself. I've tried plan A. You see, I like when I pray, maybe as I'm different. When I pray, sometimes I lie and sometimes I sit down and I'm talking to God like a father. I said, God, okay, I have tried plan A, it didn't work. Sorry, I didn't contact you. I have tried plan B, it failed. I'm sorry, I didn't contact you. Lord, even when I prayed on plan C, I pretended I was talking to you, but I did my own thing. He's now, God, can you now help me? I'm sorry, help me. God loves a sincere heart. Make your prayer simple. Something by shouting and blowing serious grammar, God will hear them more. No. Break it down. Lord, I have failed in A, B, C, D. I'm even afraid to try again, but I'll only move forward if you tell me to move forward. What is the way out? Keep it simple. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Another thing you see here is divine instruction. David had asked this question. Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? And God said, pursue, and you surely overtake them without fail. I love that word. Without what? Fail. Without, this is God giving you a seal. Boom. In that marriage, even though the boy doesn't look like what you want now, but this marriage will never fail. Put a stamp. She might not look like that babe you want now, but by the time she gives birth to 3 kids, her shape will come out. That thing you're looking for, you see it without fail. My wife is laughing. Let me tell you, let me say it. When I went to marry my wife, should I tell them? Praise the Lord. You know, she was very slim. Very slim, very slim. They used to call her one. So when she came to my office, you know, my friends who soon knew me before I got born, they said, ah, Kinebe, what is this now? This, just one. Praise the Lord. Then a lady called one of my friends, a lawyer. She called and said, Chidebere, by the time this one will give you 3 children, her shape will come up. As she's getting older, she's getting more beautiful. I thank God I listened. Listen to wise counsel. Praise the Lord. Because you find that one that is fully shaped up after 3 children. Not me talk up. Praise the Lord. Divine instruction is key. When you have asked God, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? And God says, pursue. Overtake. And without fail, you will recover what? Oh! That is divine instruction. My question this morning is, what do we do with divine instruction? How many words of prophecy have come into your life and you're still on one spot? You're trying to figure out how it will happen. When God said pursue, He didn't tell him the direction. Are you with me? Did He tell him you're going to meet one child who is sick? You know, God has, I call God divine orchestrator. You know why that Egyptian fell sick? Are you with me? You know why he fell sick? Because he was to wait for David to lead David to the place. How many divine instructions have you received about that situation? And yet, fear has paralyzed you. Some people have said, hey, a band that came and burned you, carried everything. The Philistines who are strong, trying to destroy, if you that battle, they destroyed Israel. That was when the ark was carried. Are you with me? Then a group who is stronger than them came and raided them. Fear will have paralyzed David. Some of us have received divine instructions. Marry that babe. She doesn't look it what you are looking for now. But that is the person. You say, hey, Lord. Lord, is there no other way? Let this call pass over me. Praise the Lord. Some of us pray like that, right? You're trying to change God's mind. God has said, without fail, this is the person, put stamp. I'm saying, Lord, can you change this visa? Instead of going to Cotonou or Ghana, can you make it US? You pray. You're fasting for God to change His mind on His perfect way for you. My friend, receive sense. It's true, receive sense. God has spoken on that situation. I am trying to make him to change his plan. That is not right. When you receive divine instruction, act on it. Even if it doesn't make sense. Even if it looks impossible. Even if he's going to humble you. Maybe you've done something to somebody and the person goes, hey, you should go and meet somebody that you are going with a tail behind your leg. Eh? In humility, you are humbled. God said, go and meet that person. I said, at my peak, who was this man to me now? Hey, Lord, why will I go to him? Emeka. When I was there, Emeka was still a small boy. I go and meet Emeka for help. Go there, he will tell you what to do. And you look at yourself. Help me, chief.
go to Emeka, my boy. Mm-mm. Lord, there must be another way. Maybe Emeka senior brother. That one that is my mate. Am I communicating?
Sometimes, humility is what you need to activate divine instruction. Some of us are so proud. We're still on our high horse. I remember when I was trying to take up the job, somebody said, you're going to go and take work in insurance. How much did they pay, sir? If I look at the pay, what I was earning 10 years ago and what I am today, praise the Lord. But I heard God say, go. God gave me the revelation. I shared it here in the other place. I shared it. The vision God gave me said, I am not, it's not because you've earned it. It's not because you deserve it. But because you have chosen to favor you, they came, carry a bag of money, put on my laps. I remember that testimony I shared. Then if you look at where you are starting, you will not say, how will I? But if you receive divine instruction, my brother, my sister, even if it doesn't make sense, act on it. David moved. Some of us have been paralyzed by fear for a long time. God has said, leave that work. I said, Lord, hey, they pay me 100K a month. If I leave the work, how am I going to survive? But you heard clearly, leave that work. If God has told you to leave that work, He has already made a provision somewhere to sustain you. Leave that relationship. Hey, Lord, I've known this man for 10 years. We have been going out for 10 years. How will I leave him? Hey, where will I start? Who will accept me? But God said, walk away. That covenant I'm not in need. That partnership. That is why you are where you are. You need to walk out. And I said, hey, where will I start? The man, hey, he helps me with this. You know, I remember the testimony, or not the testimony, one of our pastors shared with us from the city of David. And then he came for service and heard the sermon, and the sermon moved him. He gave his life to Christ. Then after the service, he came upstairs to see the pastor. He said, Pastor, today's service was for me. And I've given my life to Christ. But I have a problem. I am a mistress to a married man somewhere. And this man has paid for me an accommodation. Furnished with a car. I have a year, I traveled twice out of the country for vacation. All expense paid. But now that I've given my life to Christ, I'm going to lose all that. Is there anywhere I can still remain there? And the man of God said, no. You have to tell you with the other school and reject David and from today because you're a new creation. You cannot be sleeping with him. Are you with me? You have to get out of that partner, that relationship. You need to shook her head and walk away. And then return again. And I can tell you that lady, if I'd obeyed God maybe today, she would have owned an estate in Lagos. Because God will see, it's not what you gave, it's what you sacrifice. She would have had an estate in this town. Some of us are like that. Some of us here are living with men who are not even married. So, no accommodation in Lagos, so, and the boy gave me accommodation. You're moving. And you're sleeping together. But you love God. Every time they come to church, you lift up your hands. You're deceiving yourself. Come out from among them. If God has said, come out, I will make a way for you. Yes, it might be painful initially. But if you watch David, before they even saw the Egyptian, they traveled for a long time. Over 20 kilometers in the desert. The other 200 men were weak and faint. They couldn't proceed. Are you with me? They didn't even know where they were going. But if you know the question they asked the young man, he said, after they gave him food and everything, I'm still coming to that. He said, don't kill me and I will take you to them. Are you with me? When you receive this divine instruction, please, even if it doesn't make sense, act on it. Because that's the pathway to acceleration. That is the pathway to divine speed. Trust me. But you want to figure that out with your own brain. I want to do what you have planned. You will fail again and again and again. Praise the Lord. Exodus 19:5 says, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. God said, if you obey me, even though you're giving up that relation, I'm going to bring somebody that will cherish you. I'm going to bring somebody that will put you in a place you will not lack anymore. I'm going to revive that business. Even though that salary they're earning now, say, leave that work and come and do A, B, C, D. When you might go through a painful process initially, but when I bring you to the place, you'll be employing people and be paying people salaries. That is where I'm taking you. Leave that 100K paid job and come and do what I told you to do. Some of you have received divine instructions. You know what God has told you. Prophecy has come on your head. It has been confirmed over and over again. But you are paralyzed on one side because I have to use your brain to figure it. You know, until you put your leg inside the Jordan will not pass. Are you with me? You know the story of the Israelites? When they were about to cross over to the promised land, as the priest, they got to the bank. The bank has, that was during the time of harvest, right? And they said, the bank has overflown, water everywhere. But God said, cross. So as the priest with the ark, put their leg inside the water. Boom! The water that was flowing from up here started, you know, forming a wall. And they crossed the Jordan. But they had to put their feet, what? In the water. Step out. Here, I have people saying, you have multi-millionaires here. I have governors here, ministers here. And God is trying to take you to a new path to establish you. But you are still in that place you think is your comfort zone. Leave your comfort zone and move to the God zone. It might not be easy, but God's zone is the place that you receive divine speed. Are you with me? Isaiah 1:19. He said, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the man of the Lord has done what? Has spoken it. If you are willing and obedient, you will receive acceleration. If you are willing and obedient, you come into what I've ordained for you. Praise the Lord. The next thing that David did, let's move fast. David pursued his enemy. David stepped out. With the initial men of 600 men, 4 were weary. I suspect that the 400 who stayed with him were the initial 400. You know, in the journey of life, some people will join you along the way. Those who came when you are nobody and stayed with you, they have tested you, they trust you, even when things are not working out, they will go the extra mile with you. Some will come later when things are okay. But some of those ones that came, Bible said, when David took off, they are men who were in there, like area boys. They were the outcasts of the society, but they joined him. I believe the other 200 joined him when he has become established as a warrior. But when he came to a point to go the extra mile, you know, these people were weak. They've lost everything. Maybe they came back from their raid, no food. After 20 miles, they said, we can't continue on this journey. David, it's bad enough, we've lost everything. But we'd rather be alive. One person would have said, Dave, instead of me to follow you and go and die, I can stay alive and marry another wife. And maybe have other children. And I will maybe still have property later, right? Because they said, in this desert, hot sun, the way we are going, we will die. They were weary. They stayed back. Don't worry, we'll stay here and wait for some days. If you come back and meet us, we'll be with you. But the 400 followed him. Praise the Lord. We must step out of our comfort zone. And then that will need, in the journey of life, if we are to have divine speed or acceleration, is that watch out for divine helpers. God will not come down physically to help you. Relationships. God is going to use somebody somewhere to solve that problem. You don't get it. Why do you think the Egyptian maid or servant fell sick? Because God has told his son, pursue. And he knew that David has pursued. Are you with me? He had to make somebody who will give him help to stay behind. Why did the Egyptian, why did the Americans leave the Egyptian? In those days, they could have killed him. They said, let's kill him so he doesn't tell the enemy where we are. He could have, snakes, if you know desert,
could have killed him before he arrived. But God positioned his divine helper to meet him. You know, sometimes we think our divine helper is one big rich man somewhere. You don't get it. Most times it's never like that. It might be an information you need. Like the story of Naaman. Naaman was a general, but... Are you with me? But General Naaman had a maid in the house who had what? Superior information. Naaman would have gone everywhere, tried everything, and it wasn't working, but he was a leper. But there was a divine helper positioned in his house. Are you with me? He said, my master. You know, in those days, for even said, speak to the master. Imagine a general and a maid. He would have said, I want to talk to Ogao. He would have told somebody who works close to the Ogao, one of the military guys, I know what I can do to help Oga. He said, are you sure? If he's alive, we'll kill you. He said, I know. Tell Oga, I want to tell him something. Find the girl. Say, hey, go and bring her. She will come trembling. That's a divine helper. Shake him. Say, Master, there's a prophet in Israel. If you just go and see him, this leprosy, you go. Sometimes, the divine helper that you are looking for might be somebody beneath you. You don't get it. It might be somebody that looks helpless. It might be somebody that somewhere there is no connection to the solution to that problem. When I saw my divine helper, I said it here several times. Oh man, I was even trying to abuse himself. God has forgiven me. Don't abuse our divine helpers. I'm coming to that. Trust me. It might never be the person you expect. It might be somebody that just happened to meet, like David met the Egyptian. Imagine if David didn't meet him. They would have gone in circles in the desert. Hunger would have finished them. Some of them would start dying. Maybe his men would not get angry and finally kill him. But God positioned somebody. A prophesy into the life of somebody here. You are going through that challenge right now. It's as if there's no way out again. I prophesy into your life that the Almighty God will open your eyes to see your divine helper. And so shall it be. For in Jesus' mighty name I decree. Praise the Lord. When he found his divine helper, he didn't look like a divine helper. Remember, he found somebody. You know, sometimes you read the Bible, you're reading it as history, right? Put yourself at that moment when it's happening. You are desperate trying to recover what you've lost in your family. And you see somebody who is dying. That guy will be covered in dust. The moment they abandoned him, right? Covered in dust, looking helpless. Some will even use their horse to march him and walk away. Some will have asked him, who are you? Say Egyptian. He just cut off his head. Are you with me? David, because he's working on God's instruction. You have to give him a heart to act right. He said, give him food. Who does that? Okay, the food we are carrying is running out. Why are we giving this info dog this food? Somebody will have said like that. Are you with me? Okay, listen, well, let's kill him and move on. He said, give him bread. He said, give him cake again. Okay, this is not enough for the soup. Are you with me? Give him drink on top. Ha. You know, Bible says in Hebrews 13:2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. David is kind hearted, this is saying, give him food. If there was not, he said, clean him up. Are you with me? Let him receive strength. How come the guy was healed when David found him? Remember, he was sick 3 days ago. God kept him. That sickness was a decoy. God presented the divine helper in a way that you don't look like a helper. Some helpers will need your help first. You don't get it? The divine helper was down, hungry, out, thirsty. God presented his divine helper, saying to him, first of all, help him first. Before, he will not have the energy and the power to release that divine wisdom to you.
Some of us have missed our divine helpers out of meanness, hardness. How can I associate with that person? I had the tears. Are you with me? But then he said, no, bring him. They are protesting. Okay, let's kill this dog now. I'm wasting time. I said, no. Bring him. Give him food. Give him drink. Say, give him cake again. Raisins, everything. Just, I think we have to give this man all the food that we have. But when the man now ate and received strength, then he said, can you help me? He said, okay, I can help you. But promise me you will not kill me first. Because they understand the rule of the game. You get what I mean? He came from the enemy's camp. That's immediately. Promise you won't kill me. David said, okay. If I want to kill you, I'm not going to kill you. He said, good. But promise me again. You will not hand me over to my ogre. I can see you are a kind man. Are you with me? If my ogre, who was? He is able to abandon me. They had food. Remember they captured women. Are you with me? Had food, had everything, but he was sick. You know what I'm saying? Tie him on the horse and bring him to with us. I said, leave him there to die. He said, I don't want to go back to that kind of master again, please. He said, yes, he won't go back. Okay, I know where they are now. Right now, I can tell you, they are having what? Party. And this is the best time to strike. Now, divine helper will give you the strategy to come out of that problem. He said, really? He said, yes. Praise the Lord. Another prayer I'll pray for you today is that God will send you a destiny helper that He sent by Himself. Not all destiny helpers are from the Lord. Are you with me? Some will help you to put you on the path of God's destruction. Remember the story of Colinus? Colinus was a devout man. He prayed. Are you with me? He feared the Lord. And God wanted to bring him to Himself. Who did He send? A divine helper called who? Bible scholars, help me. Who did the Lord send to Cornelius? If people didn't get it, I would have continued. This time I would have gone on for 3 hours. Praise the Lord. Peter was minding his way, praying. Lord said, Peter, wake up. There's somewhere we need to help. Are you with me? That was a divine helper sent by God. Why don't you lift your hands to the Almighty God? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the problem is. I can't even pretend. Because as our faces are different, so do our challenges differ. But I pray and I prophesy into your life this moment that the Almighty God, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah El Shaddai, the divine orchestrator, that He will send you a destiny helper sent by Himself. And so shall it be. And my prayer is that none of us will miss our destiny helper. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So they went. So this is going to be one of my longest sermons, right? 1 hour, 50 minutes. Praise the Lord. That is worth it. The next thing that you see in this story, they had victory. They went there. They smote the enemy. Praise the Lord. And they recovered all without fail. You know, God says in Exodus 14:43, you will hold your peace and I will fight your battle. In the battle of life, if you try to fight it yourself, you're going to lose. Deuteronomy 24, it says, for the Lord your God is He that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. David went. He fought. He had victory. It wasn't because he was in. God has already given assurance. And the elements, the angels, aided him to be victorious. Are you with me? And they didn't lose any man. You know what it means to go with 400 men to tested men of war? Nobody shot a careless arrow like the story of Ahab. Are you with me? I let the arrow fuel and then hit somebody. Nobody got a machete cut off his hand.
he died. The Bible says they recovered all and everybody came back what? Intact. That's divine victory. God Almighty will give you divine victory in Jesus' name. And finally, when they go home, they had too much spoil. Remember, these men have gone to different cities, right? They packed, so if it's in today's parlance, I'll say, they went to war with trailers. So any city that they just conquered, they said, 20 trailers, pack everything, start going back. You know? Because when David came back, he had so much spoil. Some men said, no. These men who abandoned us at a time of need, they will not go with, they will not share with us. What we'll just do? We'll give them their wife and their children, let them go home. They were thinking they got the victory by their strength. Then he said, no. Eh? Don't put me into trouble. This battle that you and I know is not because we are smart. Because God has helped us. Today is a day of celebration. Everybody will partake in this celebration. Are you with me? God, give me divine speed of all purpose. When that money comes, are you going to be very stingy? Are you going to help people? David divided the spoil. He even sent to Judah, his hometown, sent to them to take first. Are you with me? He now distributed the spoil among his men, then gave 13 other cities. Said, City A, it's probably too much. Take to Surulere. Take to Yaba. Take to Antoni. Take to VI. Take to Aja. Take to Ajagunle. Take to Yenapaja. Take to Ogun State. They're just distributing. They're sending what? Spoils. When God brings you to that place you want to bring for you, it's not because of your own selfish use alone. It's for the people that is going to position around you for you to help. Let us bow down our heads. Pursue, overtake, and recover all.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been blessed. For more information, kindly fellowship with us on Wednesdays by 6:30 p.m. for our midweek services and Sundays by 9 a.m. for our family services at number 209 Muriokola Street, Victoria Island, Lagos. Or visit us on Facebook at Kingdom Disciples Assembly.